This week's Parsha is Parsha's Korach, and we'll start our shiur in the beginning of the Parsha, which is chapter 16, verse number 1. The Pasuk starts, Vayikach Korach ben Itzor ben Kehaz ben Levi, that Korach, the son of Itzor, the son of Kehaz, the son of Levi, took. Rashi is bothered by the language, took. It doesn't say here what he took. Therefore, Rashi explains that Lokach es atzmo letzad echot, that Korach took himself to one side, Leo is nechlok mitoy choedo, to separate from the assembly, meaning to separate from the congregation, lo oirer al kahuna, to object regarding the kahuna, meaning according to the simple interpretation that Korach accused Moshe Rabbeinu of nepotism, of not only taking things for himself, but giving the important parts, the important service in the congregation to people of his family. He was complaining that if Moshe Rabbeinu took for himself the kingdom, that if he became the king of the Jews, he should have not given to Aharon the position of high priest. That is the simple interpretation of Korach's argument. And Rashi continues, Vezeh shetirgam unkulus, and this is the interpretation of unkulus, Voes palak, on vaikach Korach, Targum Unculus writes down voes palak, which means nechlak, that he separated Mishar Oedo from the rest of the congregation. We'll try to give a different interpretation on the word voes palak, that he separated. How really did he separate from the congregation? But before we do that, we are going to quote the Medrash Rabbe and Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Rabbe is on Perek Yudches Simen Dalet, that there the Medrash Rabbah says, Vaikach Korach, that Korach took. What did Korach take? Lokach talisoi v'holach litol eitzo mishtoi. That he took his talis and he went to ask advice from his wife. The Medrash is referring to what is listed before in the Medrash on Simen Gimel, where the Medrash makes a connection between last week's Parsha, Parsha Shlach, where the end of last week's Parsha on chapter 15, verse 38, we have the mitzvah of tzitzis, that we are required to put on the corner of our four-corner garments tzitzis, and that tzitzis comprises of tcheles. Korach, as soon as he saw the mitzvah of tzitzis, took tzitzis and went to ask his wife for advice. And Rashi, in the end of this pasuk, brings the advice that his wife gave him. His wife knew that as long as the people believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking what Hashem is telling him, then the people will not side with Korach and give Korach the priesthood. But if the people start having doubts of what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, then there is a chance that Korach could become the high priest. Therefore, she suggested that Korach dress up 250 people with talesim shekula tcheles, with four-corner garments that are completely made of tcheles, and they should come in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and ask if they are required to put tzitzis on it or not, if you have to put fringes of tcheles on them or not. Moshe Rabbeinu told them that they are required to put fringes of tcheles nonetheless. They started mocking Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, how is it possible that I have a four-corner garment made of other materials? If I put one thread of tcheles, that thread exempts the whole garment, and here I have a talus shekula tcheles, a four-corner garment made completely of tcheles. How can it not exempt itself? Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu said that you are required to put tzitzis on it. Therefore, there was a mockery by everybody that Moshe Rabbeinu's law doesn't make sense. And that was what Korach's wife advised to Korach to argue against Moshe Rabbeinu. According to this, Vayikach Korach, Korach took a talis and went to ask advice for his wife. And eventually the wife gives him this bad advice, and that advice causes Korach to eventually perish. That seems to be the interpretation of the Medrash when it says, Vayikach Korach, that Korach took his talus and went to ask advice from his wife. Sefer Tiferes Yecheskel brings a beautiful interpretation, and he is going to connect the idea of tzitzis with the interpretation of Targum Onkelos, and his interpretation is going to give us an important lesson. Sefer Tiferes Yecheskel brings a Yismach Moshe in the beginning of Shmos, where the Yismach Moshe quotes the interpretation of the Beis Shmuel Acharoin regarding the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph 31a. There the Gemara is discussing the tolerance and the piety of Hillel. Then the Gemara brings three different interactions that Shammai and Hillel had regarding converts. We are going to discuss the second interaction, where there the Gemara says, Shuv Masa Benochriyechot Shebolifnei Shammai. There was another story regarding a Gentile that came in front of Shammai, and he said, Gairaini al Menashe Telamdeini Kol HaTorah Kula Keshani Oimet Aregel Achas. Convert me to Judaism on the condition that you teach me the whole Torah while I'm standing on one foot. The Gemara says that Dochvoi Bamasa Binyashe Beyadoi, Shammai then pushed this Gentile off with the construction ruler that he had in his hand, meaning that he pushed him away. We'll try to explain a little better what that means according to the Marsha. The Gemara continues, Balifna Hillel, that this Gentile didn't give up and came in front of Hillel. Gairai, Hillel converted this person. The Gemara explains why did he convert this person. Omar Loi, Hillel told this person before conversion, Dalach Sone Lechavrach Lo Savit, that what you hate, do not do unto others. Zi kol haTorah kula, this is the meaning of the whole Torah. The idach pirushei, and the rest of the Torah is an explanation of this principle. Zil gemoyer, go and learn the rest of the Torah, you'll find out how this applies to this principle. Meaning, according to the Marsha, that this Gentile wanted to have one principle that by living according to this principle, he will understand the whole Torah. Shammai did not agree with that, and Shammai told them that the same way that a house cannot be built on one foundation, so too the Torah has different foundations for it. Therefore, he pushed them away with the construction ruler to emphasize this point of comparing the Torah to a house. Hillel found one principle that includes the whole Torah, and that principle is V'ahavto l'reacha kamoicha, that you should love your fellow man as yourself. Therefore, Hillel told them this principle, converted him, and afterwards told them to go study the rest of the Torah. You will find out how this principle applies to every law that we learn. That is interpretation of the Marsha. The Yismach Moshe brings from the Beis Shmuel Acharoin that the interpretation of this Gemara is much deeper, meaning that we have in the Torah 613 mitzvahs. We have 248 positive commandments and 365 negative commandments. But be it positive commandments or negative commandments, the mitzvahs that we have don't apply to everybody at the same time, meaning, for example, we have the mitzvah of a kohen not to become contaminated to a dead person. That mitzvah only applies to kohanim, don't apply to levim and israelim. In the same kind, we have mitzvahs for levim and we have mitzvahs for israelim. And even the mitzvahs that we have for a regular Israel, there is still a distinction in mitzvahs, meaning that a person in Chutz La'aretz doesn't have the same mitzvah of a person in Eretz Yisrael, because a person in Eretz Yisrael is required to give trumas and maizres from the things that grow in Eretz Yisrael. There are mitzvahs at Luyois Ba'aretz, where a person Chutz La'aretz doesn't have this requirement. He doesn't have to keep all the particulars of the mitzvahs that apply to Eretz Yisrael. Consequently, it is impossible that one single person should be able to make all the 613 mitzvahs. Therefore, since we are required to make the 630 mitzvahs, in order for you to make the 630 mitzvahs, there is only one possibility, the possibility of you becoming reincarnated, that if you come back multiple times, then one time you'll come as a Kohen, you'll be able to make the mitzvahs of Kohanim, the next time you'll come as a Israel, the next time you'll come as a Jew living in Eretz Israel, like that you'll be able to make all the 613 mitzvahs. That, says Sefer Bishmilo Achroin, was the problem with this Gentile. This Gentile was afraid that he won't be able to make all the 613 mitzvahs, and he wanted to be able to make the 613 mitzvahs al regel echot in one time, meaning in one incarnation he wanted to be able to make the 630 mitzvahs. And he explains that even though regel echot normally means on one foot, but we find in Parshas Balak on chapter 22, verse 32, where the angel complains about Bilam hitting the donkey, and he says, "Vayomer Elav Malach Hashem," and the angel of Hashem told Bilam, "Al ma hokisu es asoicha ze shorosh regalim," why did you hit your donkey these three times? So we see that even though it's written the word regalim, which means feet, but regalim could also mean time. And therefore, Sefer Beishmul Achron explains that this person that wanted to convert, he knew that the Torah is vast, that it's impossible to learn the Torah in one foot. He wanted to convert, but in the only condition that he wanted, that he shouldn't have to come back for incarnation. He was afraid that he won't be able to perform all 630 mitzvahs, and he'll have to be reincarnated, and that he didn't want to do. Therefore, he came to Shammai and asked, "I want to convert in the condition that I could perform all 630 mitzvahs al regel echot in one time." Shammai didn't know how it's possible to perform the mitzvahs in one time. Therefore, Shammai pushed them away in the construction, to show in the same way that a house is made of different things, so too, it's impossible for you to do all these mitzvahs at one time. He came to Hillel. Hillel said that it is possible for you to do all the mitzvahs at one time. How? That if I become connected to my fellow Jew, and that Jew is connected to another Jew, and so forth, meaning I am connected to Reuven, and Reuven is connected to Shimon, and Shimon is connected to Aharon, and Aharon is a Kohen, that means that every time Aharon makes the mitzvah, it is tantamount as I would make the mitzvah, because we are all connected. Or let's say I have the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, redemption of the firstborn child, where the Kohen does not have a mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, and Aharon is connected to other people that are connected to me, then it's viewed as Aharon made the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, that he doesn't have to come back now for reincarnation to do this mitzvah, because it's connected to somebody, and that somebody is connected to me, that causes the mitzvah to transfer as many times as we are close together and we are connected, and then it's viewed as we all made the mitzvah by the principle of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, that we have to love our fellow man as ourselves, then Hashem views as we would have all been tied together, and we all did the mitzvah together. Because we are connected, then Hashem takes it and views it as we all made the mitzvah. Therefore, Hillel said that it's possible for you to do the mitzvahs al regel echot on one incarnation, if you use the principle of Mada Lecha Soni, what you hate, don't do to your fellow man, then we all become connected, we all become one. Then any mitzvah that you can do, either because you can't afford, for example, you have the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, and you can't afford because it's too expensive, but yet you are happy when somebody writes a Sefer Torah, you are connected and try to support them, and you look forward that if you had that money, you would have written a Sefer Torah, then Hashem views it as you wrote a Sefer Torah yourself because of the mitzvah of Ahavtarecha Kamoicha, Hashem views it as you did it yourself, and Hashem counts it for you. Therefore, it's possible to do all the mitzvahs in one incarnation if you do the principle of Ahavtarecha Kamoicha. The Yismach Moshe continues and says that this principle that we just mentioned, that you get the credit for somebody else making the mitzvah if you are connected to him, only applies if you yourself cannot make the mitzvah. If you cannot make the mitzvah, either because you can't afford to make the mitzvah, or you can't possibly make the mitzvah because you are not the type of person to do the mitzvah, either because, let's say, you are not in Eretz Yisrael, or you are not a Kohen, then that principle of Ahavtarecha Kamoicha would work for you to make the mitzvah. But if you could make the mitzvah and you do not make the mitzvah, then that principle will not work. Meaning that Hashem will count for you the mitzvahs that you can't make if you show Hashem that that mitzvahs that you could make, you make them. If you show Hashem that you're working hard in learning the mitzvahs and you are trying to make all the mitzvahs that you can, then Hashem will give you credit through Ahavtarecha Kamoicha even for the mitzvahs that you can't do. You become connected to the other person, then the mitzvahs you can do, Hashem will give you credit for them. But any mitzvah that you could do and you decide not to do, then Hashem will not give you credit for that mitzvah through the doing of others. And the Yismach Moshe explains that this is really what is written in the Gemara, because the Gemara says that Hillel told this person converting that the Alach Sona Lechavach Losavoit, what is hated upon you, don't do unto others. Zui Kol HaTorah Kula, this is the meaning of the whole Torah, meaning that like that you could perform the whole Torah, but in the condition that the idach perushei, that the other things are explanations. Meaning, normally the words the idach perusha means, and the rest is interpretation of the Torah. But the Yismach Moshe says that here it means to say the idach, the rest of the mitzvahs that you could do perushei, they are going to be an interpretation. Meaning that Hashem will see that you're doing the other mitzvahs and you wanted to do more, but you just couldn't, either because you were too poor or because you were not in the position to do it, then Hashem will give you credit. Hashem sees you doing the mitzvahs that you can do, that will be an interpretation for the mitzvahs that you cannot do. That the idach and the rest of the mitzvahs that you do, perushei, they will show Hashem what to do with the mitzvahs that you can do. Meaning that Zil Gamir, go learn to make the mitzvahs and you do the mitzvahs that you can do, then Hashem will give you credit through the Ahavtarecha Kamoicha for the mitzvahs that you can't do. As an aside, after I saw this Yismach Moshe that brings this interpretation of the Beis Shmuel HaAchron, that the whole idea of this person was that he wanted to be able to perform the 630 mitzvahs in one incarnation, I wanted to say that when Hillel gave the last words, Zil Gemoir, go learn, he was giving actually another idea to this Nochri, to this person who is converting, how he's able to do the 630 mitzvahs. Meaning that the Gemari Menachas, Daf Kaf Yud Amud Aleph 110a, the Gemara there says, Omar Ishlokish says, my dechsif, what is the meaning of the Pasuk that is written on Vayikra chapter 7 verse 37. Zois HaTorah, this is the law, La'ola, La'mincha, La'chatos, La'asham, for the Ola, for the Mincha, for the Chatos, and for the Asham. Rish Lakish says, Kol Oisek BaTorah, that anybody who learns Torah, meaning that even though unfortunately now we cannot perform any more sacrifices, we can't bring korbanos because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we learn Torah regarding those korbanos, we learn the laws specific to those korbanos, the details relating to these sacrifices, then Hashem considers it kehidu ikriv oila mincha chatos ve'asham. Hashem views it as you brought all sacrifices. Clearly, even though you cannot physically bring these sacrifices, nonetheless, because you learn about them, Hashem views it as you have brought those sacrifices. so too regarding all 613 mitzvahs, that some of them it's possible to do, but some of them is clearly impossible to do, as the mitzvahs of the Beis HaMikdosh, or the mitzvahs of a Kohen if you are Israel, or the mitzvahs of the land of Israel if you are Chutz Laaretz. But nonetheless, if you do Zil Gemoir, if you decide to learn the topic, learn in details, and you desire to do it, the only reason you can't do it is because it's impossible for you to do, then Hashem views it as you would make those mitzvahs, and Hashem will give you credit as you would have done it. Therefore, according to this, we could say that when Hillel suggested to this person that it's possible for you to make all the mitzvahs in one incarnation, Hillel was giving them a couple suggestions. He was telling them, number one, you could do based on V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, by loving your fellow man as yourself, meaning by you becoming connected, tied to another person, it's possible for you to do the mitzvahs in one incarnation. Or it's possible to do the mitzvahs in one incarnation by Zil Gemoir, by you sitting down and learning about those mitzvahs, then Hashem will view it as you have done it, then you won't have to be reincarnated because you did all the 613 mitzvahs in one incarnation. But going back to our topic, Sefer Tiferes Yecheskel says that according to the Beis Shmuel HaWachroim, that explains that by you becoming connected to somebody else, it's tantamount as you made those mitzvahs, we understand what Rashi means regarding tzitzis, meaning that on chapter 15, verse number 39, the pasuk there says, "Ureise moisoi," that you will see the tzitzis, "Uzechartem es kol mitzvois Hashem," then you remember all the mitzvahs, all the commandments of Hashem, "Vasisem oisom," and you will perform them. Rashi is trying to explain how are you going to remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem by looking at the tzitzis? How just by staring at the tzitzis you remember the mitzvahs of Hashem? Rashi answers, Sheminyan gimatya shel tzitzis, that the counting of the mitzvahs is the numerical value of tzitzis. Rashi explains that tzitzis is numerical value 600, meaning the tzaddik is 90, the yud is 10, that makes it 100, another tzaddik is another 90, that makes it 190. Another yud is 10, that makes it 200. Plus the tav, which is 400, that makes a total of 600. And we have in tzitzis, we have 8 strings, because we take 4 and we double them, and we have 8 strings. And then we have 5 knots, so the 8 strings and the 5 knots, that's 13. By you looking at the tzitzis, which comprise numerical value of 613, even though it's a weird numerical value, because 600 is the numerical value of the word, then in the mitzvah we have 8 strings and we make 5 knots by the tzitzis, therefore it's numerical value 613. Sefer Tiferes Yecheskel explains that now we understand why Rashi incorporates the knots as the part of the mitzvah of tzitzis, meaning that, as we mentioned, it is a very weird gematria, that 600 is the word, 8 is the strings, and 5 is the knots, and the knots become part of the 613 that makes you remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem, and that is not a traditional way of doing gematrias. But according to what we mentioned previously from the Beis Shmuel HaAchroim, that it's only possible for you to perform the 630 mitzvahs when you are connected if somebody else through V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, when you are tied to somebody else, we understand the meaning of the knots. That specifically by tzitzis we have to make knots. And the Gemara says, in Menachas Daf Lamed Tes Medalev 39a, V'Omar Rabba, Rabba says, Shma Mina, we learn from here, that Kesher Elyon Doraisa, that the final knot is a biblical commandment to have, and the reason being, because that connects you with another Jew, The fact that you put these knots in the tzitzis, that shows your connection to another Jew, that you are tied together with somebody else. And that is the only way that you could perform the 630 mitzvahs. Therefore, part of you looking at the tzitzis and part of you performing the 630 mitzvahs is that you see the knot. Therefore, the knot becomes part of the gematria. Therefore, he says that this is the mistake that Korach did. Korach wanted to separate himself. He was jealous against Moshe Rabbeinu. If he is jealous against Moshe Rabbeinu, then he doesn't have that portion of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha, love your fellow man as yourself, because he shows through his jealousy that he doesn't believe in the love of his fellow man. Therefore, Korach denied the mitzvah of tzitzis. Therefore, Korach thought that if you have a talus shekula tcheles, you're not required to have tzitzis. But Korach did not understand that the only way that you could remember the 630 mitzvahs is if you have tzitzis, that you have ties in the tzitzis. Because the ties that connect you with somebody else, that is the only way that allows you to make all the 630 mitzvahs. If you do not have these ties, then you cannot make the 630 mitzvahs. Therefore, Korach, since he denied V'ahavta L'reacha Kamoicha, did not believe that you need the ties for the tzitzis, and he believed that you could have a talus shekula tcheles, a talus that's all made of this blue wool, and you don't require to have a tzitzis. According to this, says Sefer Tiferes Yecheskel, we understand now the Targum Unculus, that the Targum Unculus translates V'ikach Korach V'ispalak Korach, that Korach separated, which means that he didn't believe in the ties, that he clearly separated himself from being together with another Jew, because he didn't believe on the V'ahavta L'reacha Kamoicha, because he was jealous against Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, he wanted to tell everybody that you don't need to have tzitzis, you don't need to be tied to another Jew in order to perform the mitzvahs. And that is the meaning V'ispalak Korach, that Korach separated himself, that he didn't believe that you are connected to another Jew. Rav Aharon Toisek, the son of the Tiferes Yecheskel, says that according to what his father explained, I could understand something very beautiful regarding other things in this week's Parsha. Meaning that in this week's Parsha, in the first Pasuk, it says, Vayikach Korach ben Itzar ben Kehaz ben Levi, Korach the son of Itzar the Kehaz ben Levi, took, Vedason Vaviram bnei Eliyav, and Dason and Aviram, the sons of Eliyav, Veoim ben Peles bnei Reuven, and Om ben Peles, which all of them are the sons of Reuven. The Gemara asks a question, what happened to Om ben Peles? We don't see Om ben Peles listed neither in those who died in the fire pen, nor in those who were swallowed by the earth. The Gemara asks what happened to Oim ben Peles' wife, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Koftes Omed Beis 109b says, Oim ben Peles ishtoi itzaltoi, that his wife saved him. The Gemara explains how did his wife save him. The Gemara says that the wife said, Ima Rabba ant Talmida, if Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the Rebbe, meaning he's going to be the master, you are going to be the student, meaning you are not going to be in charge anyways. Ve'ima rabba, and if Korach is going to be the master, ant talmida, you are going to be the student, meaning that why are you getting involved in fighting? You are not going to gain no matter what, because either Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the leader, or Korach is going to be the leader. You are never going to be the leader. Then why get involved in this fight? Om ben Peles answered his wife, my Yevet, what can I do? Have I ba'etze, I took part on this advice to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, v'shtavia li ba'adai, and I swore that I will be with them. The wife of Om ben Peles says that she will take care of it. And the Gemara tells a different version, but the Medrash HaGadol says that she went to Moshe Rabbeinu and she was crying all night. Moshe Rabbeinu heard her crying, and Moshe Rabbeinu asked to find out what's happening. And she explained that the Om ben Peles wants to ask forgiveness. He feels bad that he joined the rebellion. And Moshe Rabbeinu came to her and said that I forgive him. Then It came in the morning at the time where the rebellion was supposed to take place. Omben Peles's wife decided to get Omben Peles drunk. Once he got drunk, he fell asleep, and she decided to sit at the doorway of her tent and uncover her hair, because she said that since it's written in chapter 16, verse number 3, that the people of Korach said, Ki kolo eido kulum kedoshim, that the whole congregation is holy, then holy people are never going to come in and talk to a woman that has her hair uncovered. The fact that she had her hair uncovered, that was immodest, and the people will not come and talk to her. Therefore, the people bypassed Omben Peles, they died, and Omben Peles survived. The Gemara continues in Kaf Yud Amud Aleph 110a that this is what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said in Mishlei chapter 14 verse number 1, Chachmois Nashim Bonso Beisa, that the wisdom of women build a house, Zu Ishto Shalom Ben Peles, that this verse that Shlomo HaMelech says is referring to the wife of Omben Peles, that since she saved them, she is considered like she built a house. That Omben Peles's wife was willing to risk her reputation, that people are going to say that she is immodest, that she's sitting with uncovered hair, as long as she was going to save her husband. We see that Omben Peles's wife didn't want to be involved in Machloikas, that she is willing to go out of her way, risk her reputation, in order to make sure that there is no machloikas, that her husband should not take part on any kind of machloikas. According to this, says Rav Aaron Toisik, we could say that Omben Peles's wife tied a kesher, a knot, on the talus, on the tzitzis. Meaning, as the Tiferes Yecheskel explains, that when somebody causes machloikas, he is untying. He believes that there is no tie in the tzitzis. Therefore, when a woman, when Omben Peles's wife is making sure that her husband is not involved in machloikas, where her husband is connected to another Jew, then basically she is tying the tzitzis. She's tying the kesher in the tzitzis. She's tying the connection in the tzitzis between a man and another man. And he explains that that could be the reason why we say that a woman is kosher to tie the tzitzis. Even though a woman is not required to wear tzitzis, because tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, it's a time-related mitzvah, because you are not required to wear tzitzis at night. Therefore, women are exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis, because they are exempt from positive mitzvahs that are time-related. But nonetheless, according to the Mechaber in Orach Chaim, Siman Yedalet Sif Aleph, a woman is kosher to tie the tzitzis lekatchila. And according to the Rama, she's kosher b'dieved. And the reason he explains why is because we see that Omben Peles's wife was praised for tying her connection, making sure that the husband does not get involved in machloikas. And by tying the tzitzis, that makes sure that you are connected with another Jew. As we mentioned, that the tzitzis connects you to another Jew in order to enable you to perform all the 613 mitzvahs. And according to this, says Rabbi Tosek, you can understand another interesting minhag that Hasidim have. The Magen Avraham in Simon Ches of Kotan Gimel writes down that a bochur shelo nasa isha, that a single man that did not marry a woman, did not cover his head with a talus. Therefore, Shalosh Yeshivas Divra Yatziv, which is a Tzanzer Einikel, explains that the custom by the Hasidim is therefore not to wear a talus gadol at all. Since it's written that the man do not cover the head with a talus, therefore the Hasidim do not wear a talus gadol. There are certain customs that you start wearing a talus as soon as you become bar mitzvah, that is the Sephardi custom and some Ashkenazi custom, but the majority of the Minhagim do not wear talesim until they get married. And in the Tashbatz Kotten Os Tov Samach Dalet explains that it seems to be a hint to this idea from what is written on Parshas Kiseitze. In Parshas Kiseitze, chapter 22, verse number 12 and 13 consecutive, Ar gedilim taselecho al arba kamfris kesuscho asher techaseba, that you should put tzitzes on the four corners of the cloth that you cover yourself with, and right afterwards on the pasuk is written, ki ikach ish isha, when a man will acquire a woman, meaning when he will be married to a wife. So we see the smichas, the juxtaposition between the parsha of tzitzes and the parsha of getting married. Therefore, the Tashbat says that when you get married, you are supposed to wear another tzitzes, which means that then you are supposed to wear the talis gadol. But Rav Aharon Toisik says that there is a special peculiarity in this minhag, meaning that the custom is that the kala is the one that buys to the chosen his talis. The chosen does not buy the talis himself. The kala is the one that buys this talis for the chosen. And he is bothered if the mitzvah is on the husband to have the talis, then why does the kala give him that talis? Why doesn't the husband pay for himself for that talis? Furthermore, he asks, there is a custom by Sfardim that Sfardim, even though they wear a talis gadol before they get married, nonetheless, under the chuppah, they take a talis, and with that talis, they cover the kala. The reason that you cover the kala is not because that considers chuppah, because you are standing under the chuppah. True that you are performing the contractual obligation of clothing your kala, but why specifically they do it under the chuppah and specifically with a talis? Since clearly a woman is not obligated in wearing a talis, what is the point of her being covered in a talis? What is the message that we are trying to convey by the fact that we are covering the kala with a talis gadol? They could find another nice coat or another nice jacket to give the kala and say that this is a way to cover you. What is the idea that under the chuppah they cover the kala with a talis gadol? Rav Aharon Toisik explains that according to what he just mentioned and according to what the Tiferes Yecheskel explains regarding the ksharim, the ties on the tzitzes, we could understand this minhag very well, meaning that a chosen, when he's marrying this kala, he really doesn't know how his life is going to be. He doesn't know what kind of character this kala really has. Therefore, by the kala buying the chosen the talis, the kala is kind of saying to the chosen that I am tying up your talis, that I am giving you the talis, and I'm going to make sure that there is going to be shalom between us, and it's going to be shalom between you and other people, that we are going to be tied together with all the Jewish people, that like that we'll be able to perform all the 630 mitzvahs, and we are also going to be tied within ourselves. Therefore, the chosen under the chuppah, he brings this talis, and he covers the kala with this talis by making the statement that he understands and he wants that the same way that they are now, they are tied together under one talis, they are tied to each other, they are tied together to the other people. And because the talis and the tzitzes signify the 630 mitzvahs, that they are going to do the utmost to maintain harmony between man and wife and between man and man, that they are going to keep shalom between the Jewish people and shalom in the house. That's why specifically the talis is given by the chuppah, and that's why specifically the talis is given by the wife, because the one who came up with this idea, who was called the wise person that builds a house, was the wife of Omben Peles. And the wife of Omben Peles did all this in order to maintain harmony in the house, in order to maintain harmony among the Jewish people, because she wanted to minimize the machloikas. And that is the explanation that Rabbi Aharon Toisik explains for this minhag. I wanted to add that the reason that the color gives the chasen, the talus, or why they put the talus under the chuppah, could be based on the Mishneh Berura on Hilchos Tzitzis Simen Yud Talev Sif Katan Ayin. There, the Mishneh Berura explains how you wrap around the tzitzis, and he quotes that the Achronim all agree that you first put two ties, then you wrap seven times around, and then you make two ties, and then you wrap eight times around, which makes a total of 15. Then you make two knots, and then you wrap 11 times, which makes a total of 26, which is the name of Hashem. The numerical value of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is 26. And afterwards, we wrap 13 times and then make two knots. 13 is the numerical value of Echad, because Echad is Aleph, Ches, Dalet. Aleph is 1, Ches is 8, Dalet is 4. That makes it 13, which by doing that, you are claiming that Hashem Echad, that Hashem is 1, and you are testifying to the oneness of Hashem. When you look at this Mishneh Berura, it's also interesting to note that true that we make 26 and then we make 13, because 26 is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and 13 is Echad, but numerical value of 13 is also Ahava. Love is also 13, because the Aleph is 1, the He is 5, that makes it 6, the Vav is 2, that makes it 8, and the He is 5, that makes it 13. And we know that 26 plus 13 is 39, and 13 times 3 is also 39. I wanted to say that based on the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, that this Gemara is a popular Sheva Brachas Torah, that Gemara says, Darash Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva darshant, Ish ve'isha, a husband and wife, Zachu, if they married, Shechina b'neihem, the Shechina is amongst them, meaning that when husband and wife are together, they are performing the mitzvahs, they are in love with each other, then the Shechina is amongst them. Therefore, I wanted to say that this is the significance of 3 times 13, one for husband, one for wife, and one for Hashem, that husband and wife are loving Hashem or love Hashem. Therefore, when the husband is about to get married, the wife wants to signify to the husband that their love is going to continue and their love is also based on love of Hashem. Therefore, she gives him the tzitzis, the talus, which has 3 times 13, 3 times Ahava, to signify true that she loves her husband, but she also loves Hashem, that her love to the husband is contingent with the love to Hashem. And the same thing under the chuppah, when the husband is pulling the talus, according to the Sfardim Minhag, maybe the husband is telling the wife that we are going to be together, but only if there is 3 loves. Only if there is me loving you, you loving me, and both of us loving Hashem. And Hashem Yisburach should help that our love to Hashem should only continue, and we should perform the mitzvahs. And if we do that, then we merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheira b'yomeinu, Amen.